Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Välkomna gänget, saknade, älskade och inte bortglömda. Välkomna till avsnitt 26. Vi sitter här i studion, vi är tillbaka igen och ber om ursäkt för det lilla avbrottet som vi har haft. Som ingen har lagt märke till.
Jag tyckte det var så himla kul att du bara, avsnitt 26 är inställt på grund av sjukdom. Medan vi satt på Vigården och drack öl.
Yes, en klassisk sjukskrivning med andra ord.
Men jag var faktiskt ganska sjuk. Jag mådde skit den dagen.
Okej, okay. Visst.
Sen mådde jag bättre.
Ja. I dagens avsnitt så kommer vi att prata om modellvärlden. Och dagens avsnitt kommer också vara på engelska. Och jag ska försöka att inte göra bort mig. Har värmt upp lite här innan, tidigare. Och med oss i studion har vi Kate Moss. Nej, vi har med oss Megan Kennedy.
Can we do a sound effect with like applause?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
We shall do that.
Yeah, okay. Let's make a cheer.
Oh yes,
let's make a cheer. Yeah, because we're recording. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Friday
and we're having an after work.
Yeah, jag måste dricka öl.
So, Megan is... to do a proper introduction.
Yeah.
Megan is my American friend who has become
best
everybody's
friend. Sorry.
I'm sorry. best
me?
Friend. The love of my life. My other half.
Good girl.
Thank you.
But
Emily. So and she has quickly interacted into our little group of girls. So now we just have... We have a really good group of girls now.
Yeah.
We have a really good
friend
group.
We have a gang.
We have a squad.
Yeah. Girl gang.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm going to apologize for my English too, because sometimes when... now that I'm recording, I'm just going to like start stumbling and mumbling and being weird because I think in Swedish.
Yeah.
But we'll get into it.
Okay, so let's quickly... tell our listeners how you two met. And I think Megan can answer this question.
Okay, well, I used to have a blog called The Retired Models, where I talked quite a bit about the modeling industry and all of the good, the bad, the ugly that came with it. And my blog was featured on a gossip website here called Classe 15. And... from that,
sorry.
I received a lot of Swedish viewers.
Are you kidding, Olivia? What are you doing?
I'm just going to turn up.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Förlåt. So I received quite a bit of Swedish viewers from that outlet. And the thing with me and that blogger is we had somewhat of a feud because he posted something about me and he used to talk about how girls that went out in Los Angeles were escorts and they were prostitutes and... I was featured on that because he thought I was a prostitute. And I was like, I wrote him a really long open letter being like, bruh, if I was a prostitute, do you think I'd be stunned in like some H&M dress? Like, hell no. And so I was just like, you know what? You can continue to talk about my friends and I like this, but, you know, it's not fucking true. And you're an asshole at the end of the day. Anyway, so I had quite a few Swedish viewers from those posts. And I met a guy in Florida and came to Sweden to...
Oh, you met in Florida?
Yeah, we did. Oh. So we were together for 1 month in Florida, and he was like, will you move back to Sweden with me? And my dumbass was like, yes, this sounds so healthy. I'm so excited.
How old were you then?
I was 20.
And you're 23 right now?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I was 20 going on 21, so it's not such a... Whatever, it was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So I came here, and one day, I think within the first week of me being here, I had a huge increase in my Swedish viewers. So through WordPress, you can kind of track where your viewers are coming from. And they were all linked back to this bitch sitting across from me.
What's good?
Where Olivia was pretty much just like, oh my God, my favorite blogger. She's American. She just moved to Sweden. So I was with a group of guys. And we were at Bistro Linnea, and I was like, who is this girl writing about me? And finally, through, you know, some sleuth work, we found you. And then I found your phone number somehow. And then I texted you saying, hey, let's hang out. And you were like, bitch, what the fuck? And so the rest is history.
And here we are.
Yes, here we are.
And for you guys who don't know, Olivia's also been a model.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to miss since like the largest story that like most read posts on my blog are about the whole modeling thing.
Yeah, but do you think that everyone who listens read your blog?
I hope. If they don't, you can get them. No.
If not, swipe up for the link.
Yes, I've been a model since I think I joined Mika's when I was 13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how about you?
I was 15.
Yeah, 15.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to talk about modeling all the, like, so Emily is the only one in the room who's not a model.
Because I'm very short.
You
I'm
just
a dwarf.
Torched her ass.
Yeah.
You totally just torched her ass.
Yeah. I'm pretty, though.
Yeah, that's lucky. Okay. I'm sorry. My mom says that all the time. She's like, tur att du satt. But... It's a good thing since it's easy for us to like talk about things that we think that everybody know.
Yeah,
everybody knows.
Like you being a model.
Yeah.
Shut up, Emily.
And so yeah, we're gonna start with the whole. I think most questions that I get, I don't know about you, but people are like, how did you become a model?
Yeah. When did you get discovered or scouted? Is that the word for it?
Yeah, scouted. I was 15, and after school one day, my friends and I went to our mall, which is called the Gardens Mall.
That's so American.
I know. And so my group of friends in high school is like very big, and then you had groups within that group. So it was like me and seven other girls or something. So we went to the mall, and I was in Forever 21, and some... girl with two guys came up to me and she's like, excuse me, are you a model or have you ever been a model? And I was kind of like, what? Because, it, you know, when you're 15, you are not looking your damn best. Like, I just got my braces off. I grew 2 inches randomly. Well, I don't know what that is in centimeters. Sorry, guys. But I grew quite quickly from like this to this. And yeah, I just never thought of myself as being pretty enough to model because I also had a very, very beautiful sister who was so glamorous and sexy. And I'm like, okay, I'm just the lanky, kind of skinny one that has clear braces. Okay, fine.
Were you like popular with guys and things?
No, not at all. Our high school was so small, so everybody kind of like hooked up with the same guys. But I mean, I was like a little virgin, you know, I was 15 and felt really uncomfortable around guys because of the way I looked. And I didn't find myself pretty or attractive. And guys that age are like, oh my God, boobs. Somebody has boobs. Let's go after that girl. She has an ass. Let's go after her. Or like, you know, a rumor gets out that a girl gave like a really good blowjob. So they're like, oh, I want to be with that girl. You know what I mean? So like I was not I had sexual experience, but I wasn't a sought-after girl. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Okay, so you were in at, like, Forever 21.
Yeah.
And what happened with that woman who...
So, I, you know, we talked a bit more and I took her card and gave it to my mom later. And my mom kind of always wanted one of us to be a model. Is she, because my mom gave birth to four beautiful children. So she was like, okay, one of them is going to be a model. And we had done like child modeling before and whatnot. So, yeah, my mom called and it turned out to be legit. What's funny too, and I feel like I need to like put this in here, is that when I finally told my friends, because they were like scattered throughout Forever 21, they were like, really? You? You are going to be the model? Like, who was that? And then I told another girl at school and she was like, yeah, it's probably a fucking scam. Mm. And so, like, naturally, I'm just like, wait, that girl's right. It's probably a scam. Like, I could never do this because I'm not pretty. Yeah, and it, like, it's not that it, yeah, it hurt my feelings, but another thing was just, like, high school is terrible.
High school sucks.
High school fucking sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, my God. Just to, like, imagine if you were to get, like, a modeling offer or whatever, yeah, and you came to me and told me, and I was like, it's probably a fucking scam. Mm. Like, think about that now as an adult. It's so fucked up.
Yeah, like, I remember when I started out, I got so teased for it.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, running, waking up, like, super early, going to Stockholm Fashion Week, and then by this time the show was done, I had to rush to a math test. That I couldn't be late. But they did my makeup really, like, yellow and weird and whatever. And I remember being like, you have to wash it off. I need time to wash it off. I can't go to school like this. And I look beautiful. Like, yeah. I look so good. But
of course.
As soon as I came in with makeup, people were like, oh, who do you think you are? What the fuck is she doing? And like, oh my God, she looks terrible.
Yeah.
The guys in my class actually told me when... I cut my hair and dyed it darker. He looked me straight. This is so weird. He looked me straight in the eye, and he was like the cool guy in the other class. And he looked like straight in the eye, and was like, "Wow, that is so fucking ugly."
Wow.
And I was like,
"Dude, kids suck.
Really?
Kids
yeah." He's like, "You look like a Polish hooker." And after that, everybody just called me the Polish whore.
Yeah.
And it's like such a weird thing because. At that age, it wasn't cool modeling. It wasn't like, people were like so mean.
Yeah, people hate it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, now that I think about it, I'm like, wait, why was you so mad? And I mean, obviously there's some jealousy.
Of course,
and when I think about it too, maybe if somebody else in my friend group had gotten that opportunity, I probably would have been angry about it too.
Yeah.
I definitely would have been like, it's a fucking scam because I'm not a fucking cunt. But at the same time, I probably would have been like, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's hard to be like happy for other people when you're struggling with like the high school. Like it's hard to be like to have the energy and be the big person to be like, that's really good for you when you're like every day is like Fight Club.
Every day is fucking Fight Club.
It's like the Hunger Games. Yeah. Okay, so continue.
Anyways, so it ended up working out and I did a few test shoots and we had a very, very positive response from...
How was your first test shoot? Like, what do you do?
It was weird. I mean, of course, I was like 15, didn't know how to be in my own skin. Like, I was just like, I was still struggling with the idea that people thought I could model, you know? So luckily, I had a really great team around me that was saying, you know, you can do this. We're going to walk you through everything. So they really, my first test shoot, taught me how to model. And it was like a crash course. And they were just like, move this a little bit, move that a little bit. And then they were like, okay, now go back to that. And like, you can start moving around with your body. So with that, I mean...
You must have been terrified.
Oh, I was talking... Yeah, I mean, going in front of like a huge camera with people who are around models all the time, I was just like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Nope. But they were really amazing with me and... made me feel super comfortable.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, and after the test shoot, like, what happened?
So they sent out the photos to a bunch of different agencies, and I was featured on a couple new, you know, fresh face websites. That sounds like porn.
Yeah.
It sounds like fucking porn. But yeah, I was featured on a couple different websites, and they had a really, really great response. And it's lucky as well that my management were photographers, so they really knew how to make a photo look great. As you call them, Polaroids, they weren't just Polaroids. These could have been in Harper's Bazaar. You know what I'm saying?
What is that?
What?
Polaroids,
yeah. First of all, Polaroids...
I know what Polaroids are.
Yeah, but you know, but people don't know.
Okay.
Polaroids are basically just photos of you. They're very straightforward, just showing the lines and curves of your face and your body.
Yeah.
That's the best way I can describe Polaroids.
Yeah, so like you have a book with editorials or you doing this or this or this and this. And then you have like these photos that are just no makeup, black t-shirt, like straight...
Straightforward. It's just very straightforward. Like a picture of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I've always hated my Polaroids. Except for the ones that my management took. Those were fucking bomb as fire. I don't know.
Okay, so...
And Olivia, how did you get discovered?
Actually, my best friend, when I grew up, her aunt was one of the owner of Mika's.
Oh.
So they told me that they kind of always kept an eye on me since, I mean, I was like 11 or 12 or something. And then I had like my period of doing a lot of makeup and like just being a really weird teenager.
You know? You are? Like what else?
No, but like, you know, they told me that they were like, yeah, we saw you and we wanted to wait until you like... cool down from that extreme makeup thing, you know, like fjortis.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, oh my God, I love that phrase. Can you explain fjortis? I love
fjortis
that.
Fjortis is like, it was a trend like in the same way, it's like people did their makeup as, in the opposite of emo.
Yeah, like it was like very girly and like.
It was a war thing.
Yeah. And like, you were like orange in your face and you had like...
Yeah, but exactly. It was like girly in the set. Like, that's what girls in 2000s look like.
Yeah.
Orange. Like a lot of makeup, heavy makeup. Like,
yeah.
But it was
lips,
like, yeah,
eyeliner.
Exactly. But we, like in Sweden, we took it like one step further in a way where like we had white lips.
Yeah.
White. Completely white.
Like you had like Nivea
yeah,
on your lips.
Yeah, it's
like
a thing you buy at the pharmacy that makes your lips literally go white because it's so thick of a cream thing. So white.
And the inner of your eyes were white, like sparkling. And you also, like, I don't know if you did that in Stockholm, but you drew like cat, like...
those three
lines.
Stripes.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't whiskers. It started out.
Yeah.
But, and then I ended up just three lines here.
Yeah.
On the cheeks.
So weird.
Yeah,
so
it was an extreme period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they kind of waited until that, and then they contacted my mom and was like, hey, so we would love for her to come in to shoot, to just do some Polaroids. And that was that.
Were you tall as a kid?
I grew fast as fuck. Like, I grew over a summer.
Yeah, same. Exactly.
Came back and was like, and I still, I don't know about you, but.
Was that accent, though?
Yeah. Was that fact?
So I don't know about you, but like, I've met some other like tall people grow super fast. That I have a problem with my coordination.
So oh yeah.
When I grew super fast, I my body didn't have time to adjust to the new new length of my arms, so I knocked things over all the time. It was so annoying. And I still I stumbled on my own feet. I turned another thing is like if I walk straight and I'm like, oh wait, I'm gonna go the other way. My upper body turns, but my feet continue, so I kind of like, always fell over. I fell all the time, knocked things over, thought my arms were shorter than they were, so like every time I reached for a glass, I just knocked it over. It was so weird. It was like a dark time.
Yeah, I can't relate to that at all because I'm still, like, now I'm comfortable with, but like in the beginning when me and Olivia started to hang out, which is like tomorrow, it's 1 year ago, high five.
Yeah, that was a really bad high five.
That's so sweet. They're so soft.
But I was so uncomfortable with like somebody being taller than me. because I didn't hang out with tall people. So I was wearing heels all the time, and now I'm like, oh no.
You're like,
I never
oh,
mind my sneakers and be short. And
no, yeah. How tall are you? You're not that short.
Yeah, I am.
168?
No. Are we talking in centimeters?
Yeah, because I understand that.
63.
163?
Yeah.
Nej, det är inte så short.
Okej. Okay. Okej. But okay,
continuing.
Back to the modeling.
Yes.
Yeah, because there's still a lot of things that I don't know yeah. about Olivia's model.
But I want to know the story. I want to continue the story.
No, I mean, here's the problem with any time you film with Olivia and we are just the worst at keeping on one subject.
Yeah.
So, like, it's either I film or she films. Like, this is the worst fucking thing. But anyways, basically, we had a really great response from agencies. And my management told me, you know, you don't have to drop out from high school. But if you did online schooling, that would make things so much fucking easier. So, I mean, I hated high school. I hated West Palm Beach, Florida. So I was like, fuck yeah, I'm getting out of here. So I switched to online schooling. And from there, I was able to take my schoolwork with me whenever I was traveling for jobs. So I started traveling when I was 15. And now the rest is, once again, history.
Were you the same age, Olivia?
Well, when
you started modeling? 15.
She's 13.
13. Okay, yeah.
No dumbass bitch.
Okay, thank you.
No, but so did you have like a revenge thing with your classmates?
Yeah,
with when it like turned out to be legit and you were like, boom,
yeah,
bitch.
It was, I mean, walking through high school the day that I was like, no, I'm leaving. I'm going to model. Of course, I felt like I was like the coolest bitch ever. But I mean, now that I think about it, it's kind of embarrassing because I didn't owe anybody anything. So, like, I should have honestly just left and not said anything because I think people felt a lot of resentment towards me for leaving, which I kind of understand. I would probably feel the same way if I had to stay in West Palm Beach where I really hated it. So I think, yeah, I mean, as soon as I left, my friend group dropped to half, and then I was only friends with like two people from my high school because everybody else treated me weird and they didn't really want to hang out with me. They thought that I thought I was so much better than them, but really I didn't. I was just more like, I don't want to stay here. I don't want to be in Florida. And when people are in a small town, it's like that small town mindset where they're like, well, we're the greatest town in the world, so you're fucking crazy if you don't want to stay here. You know what I mean? Mm. It's like they get very defensive. And so, yeah, I mean, it wasn't really like a revenge thing because also I didn't really, once they started treating me like that, I didn't really care to remain friends with them.
Yeah.
And as soon as I started living in other apartments with models who were going through the exact same thing where they were saying, yeah, I left and I don't have any friends now and I didn't do anything wrong, but I left to do this and now I feel so lonely. And so you kind of bond with these girls over that fact as well.
How
so,
much did you like travel the first year? Was it like, I don't know how it works. So
I mean, so for about like 5 years, I would say I was between LA, New York, London, and Tokyo mostly. So like there would be times when I would go home for a month and wait for a visa and then go back out again.
Oh, wow.
And how was the first time? Tell me about like the first time living in a model apartment.
It was so much fun.
Where did you go?
New York, actually. And the girls, we had this amazing apartment with IMG. Well, it wasn't amazing. It was fucking disgusting and dirty. But to us, we were like so young. So it was the coolest experience to us. Mm. And I keep repeating things, but that's because I've had, yeah, disclaimer, I've had a couple Peronis by now. But basically, yeah, these girls and I just immediately bonded. Within like 2 days, we decided that we were going to be best friends for life. And actually, I still talked to a couple of them. And it was so much fun. We started going out with New York promoters. And we were 15, 16 years old. And it was just the best time ever. If I could relive a time over and over and over, it would be that time. Mm. I've never had so much fun in my entire life.
Oh, wow. And
how was it like? Tell me, like, how does it... I don't think people knows how it works with like a model apartment.
So basically, an agency overcharges the fuck out of you for a model apartment. In one room, so there was a two-room apartment. Because we were underage, we had a chaperone who actually was never there. I saw her maybe three times. Mm. And then she would just leave for long periods of time. We were like, okay, that's fine. And I mean, we preferred when she was gone. So in one room was three bunk beds. So six girls to one room. Mm. Each girl is charged $900. Think about that for a minute. Just let that chew on it.
That's 9,000 crowns, basically. Yeah.
Holy so it's like, but we didn't know any better. We're like, oh, maybe this is really the amount that people pay for apartments. You know, we're fucking 15 years old. We don't.
Holy shit.
Yeah, we're idiots. So we gladly forked that money over to the agency.
That's almost like 60,000 crowns.
It's insane. It's really fucking insane. Shit. For when that apartment itself was probably 20,000 crowns a month.
Yeah.
No. I mean, this is New York. It was probably 30,000 crowns a month. Maybe more, but it wasn't. They were definitely overcharging us, but that's what agencies do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But what does that do to you? Like, I'm asking you both to start working in the age and being like a product. And do you see yourself as that, or are you like, oh, I'm very pretty, or what's your, what do you say, like, självbild?
You're in like image. How you see yourself.
For me, as soon as I signed that modeling contract, I was around adults 24/7. So I really grew up quite quickly. And I mean,
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
In the beginning, I didn't really think of myself as a product. I loved being in front of the camera, and I felt really cool. You know, I didn't feel that. I ended up feeling like that a few years later when I was just being a little bit overworked and I developed bulimia. But before that,
we'll get to that later.
Yeah. We'll get to that. But I felt like I turned 20 overnight when I was 15.
Yeah.
I really think it depends on what kind of person you are and what kind of parents you have. Mm-hmm. Because I know like there's a lot of girls who maybe like you was like the weird kid in high school or the weird kid in school who was like super tall and super weird and looked kind of like an alien. And then overnight someone picked them up and they suddenly are like the most beautiful person. So I think that awkwardness can stick. But depending on what parents you have, I think that my mom was super clear from the beginning, being like, you can do this, but you're not missing one, like a single test or a single class or yeah, classes will be like nothing. This is not gonna do anything to your school. If you want to work, fine, but you have to work extra 5 hours, or work on set, or work on whatever. And just like whenever they were like, okay, she needs to lose weight, she needs to lose this much. My mom was always like, can you do this? Do you want to do this? Like, is it, because yeah. Like she really made sure and made me think about it as a job. Like not being like, you have to lose weight. Like the model, the product Olivia has to lose weight. I think that my mom just made sure that whenever I had to lose weight, whatever, she made sure that I knew that it's like, this is only work.
Mm.
This has nothing to do with how you look. If they wanted you to put on 10 kilos, it's 10 kilos. Or if you want to lose, like, it's not you. It's not your body. It's wrong. That's wrong. It's like, you just have, it's a work. And I think that, I don't know how you should do it best, but for me, that was the best way that you can handle it.
Yeah.
Because just making sure that I knew that, like, separate myself from being a product.
Get a distance, yeah.
Yeah.
But if you, like, imagine yourself, like, 20 years from now, and you have daughters in the same age, like 15, would you be okay with them modeling?
I've had this conversation with so many guys I've dated.
Of course, yeah.
So many guys I've dated.
But would you?
Yes, actually, because modeling has afforded me so many amazing opportunities in my life that I never would have had, ever. Yeah.
And confidence.
But at the same time, I probably would have handled it a little bit better than my parents did.
Yeah.
And because I have so much knowledge of it, I'd be like, for sure, go for it. But I'm going to keep track. Like, I'm going to keep tabs on you and make sure that, first of all, you're always healthy. Like, it would kill me, I think, if my daughter developed an eating disorder.
Yeah.
And, like, it would fucking kill me. But, like, at the same time, I will always want my kids to go after their dreams. I pray to God I get a daughter that doesn't want to model, because that would just make things so much easier. But at the same time, it is a great opportunity.
Yeah.
And you can get so many things out of it.
Exactly. And also, I think that it's, like, such a difference if you get a your parents had no idea. Mm-hmm. My parents had no idea. They didn't know. If they just let you out in this world and being like they have no idea. Like, growing up as a model, having a daughter who might want to model, it's like, I know which photographer is creepy as fuck.
Yeah,
I know exactly which brand you're not going to work for. I know which agencies. I know which, you know.
Exactly. You know what to look for. And
what you know the signs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very well.
Okay, so let's talk about drugs. We just need to, because that's like a big thing in the model world. Do you want to say anything about that?
Okay, what I'm going to say about that is that it is and it isn't. You do have a choice against to not take drugs. And I feel like that was something that was commonly mistaken when people were reading my blog, was that they were saying, oh, you're so anti the modeling industry, you took so much coke, you did this, and I was like, yeah, but those things were also my choice. Also, I was going to use coke regardless of if I was a model or not. You know, that was more of just an emotional problem that I had. So, but obviously,
you have to tell people who haven't read your blog.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Hi, I'm Megan. I used to be a coke addict. Hi.
Hi, Megan.
Yeah, hi, Megan.
Welcome. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. But I think being in modeling, maybe you are exposed to it a little bit easier than without. But
maybe a bit earlier.
Yeah, a little bit earlier for Americans, maybe.
No, it's the same.
But like, I feel like here you guys are exposed to drugs a lot sooner.
I mean, yes and no. It's more like when you're 15 and treated as you are 25, people take drugs. Like, even like if you're 15 and treated as 20, people will drink, and so you will drink.
Yeah.
Or like people take it just becomes like normality.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I was at the Gansevoort in New York when I was 16, at a table with men who are in their 30s doing cocaine. And so obviously
I'm 16. Like, yeah. Think about that. Like, hearing me say it out loud really fucks with me because I'm like, what the fuck was I doing?
Yeah.
And when I look at 16-year-olds today, I'm like,
yeah. Oh, my God. In that's 3 years, that's 10 years ago.
I'm going to, no, okay, I'm done.
Okay, sorry.
Olivia, we're not doing this. I'm done.
Okay, that's insane.
Wow.
We're the same age, so don't.
Yeah,
don't I hate there. You. Don't ever say okay. that again.
I had a talk with someone today, I was telling him about we're doing this episode about modeling, and he and I think a lot of other people has this
preconceived notion.
Förebild.
Nej.
Image, right?
Förutsättfattade meningar.
Ja.
Prejudges.
Yeah. A preconceived notion about modeling.
Yeah, because he told me that he was like, the agencies are making you do drugs because they want you to look in a certain way.
Not at all.
No.
Not at all.
Okay, so let's... Uh-uh. Yeah. Yeah, okay, no. Now we know.
But also, like, I think that people don't get it. Like, sometimes they come to me and be like, oh, it must be so hard being, like, a model with your agency making you lose weight. It's like, Mika's never... Like, yeah. They were always like, if you want to do this, you have to lose this much. But you're going to stay in school. You're going to do this. Yeah. You're going to do this. We're going to get you a gym card, a dietist, whatever. It's like, it's different for every agency. It's not like they throw you. Sometimes, yeah. Like,
well,
sometimes,
I think that even if you're 15 and someone even mentions you losing weight, that will affect you.
Yeah, but also
anyway.
It's like I know it's fucked up, but yeah. it's not the agency, it's the society.
Okay, so we're back from our very long smoke break.
Yeah, we're back from the break and
what
is it? I've been doing this for 26 weeks now.
Excuse me.
High five.
She's the one who has breakdowns in every episode.
Yeah, but you're the Whoa. One who always being like, I have to pee, I have to light a candle, I have to do yoga in the middle of everything.
Hey, I have to light a candle. That's the most Olivia thing I've ever heard. I have to light a candle right now.
No. Okay, so I want to know.
Wait.
Okay, no, wait, Olivia,
please don't interrupt me again. Hi and welcome back from our very short break.
I've already said that.
Yeah, but it was a mess.
Yeah, okay, but I'm
care. A mess.
Also,
don't care.
Our very short smoke break turned into 2 hours.
Yeah, and we're a little bit more drunk now.
I'm so drunk, dude. Why am I doing this?
Oh, my God. Okay, so I want to...
Oh, my God.
When we had Henrik Schiffert here as a guest, Olivia asked him, when did you feel, like, the most cool? Or, like, when was your high?
Yeah, the moment that I knew I really made it, in Japanese standards, was when I was on a billboard in the busiest area of Tokyo, which is called Shibuya, as well as being on the cover of two magazines at the time.
Also, and you were being recognized.
Yes, I was being recognized by some, it was really cute, a few Japanese schoolgirls would come up to me and be like, ah, Rose Bullet, like the campaign I was in currently, because it had like a commercial, it had this, so it was... It was being broadcasted quite a bit. So I think...
Can you put your beer a little bit...
Oh, yeah.
Because you're like, I just see you and I'm like...
Olivia is worried about Megan spilling her beer.
Yeah, okay.
I could see Slender the disaster.
Man. Okay, Slenderman.
Oh my God.
You watched that whore mouth.
How good was that though, Slenderman? Okay, you go on.
Okay.
When did you know you made it, Olivia?
I never. I mean, like, what? No, I didn't make it.
Okay, so
I never really made it either. I wasn't like fucking walking for Gucci, but in my mind, me making it was those things I mentioned.
Were you on like the same level? Can you measure it? Or like,
I mean, no, yes and no. Like, if I think that we would probably been in the same level if my mom let me do whatever I like. Go on these trips.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. I think if you had gone to Tokyo, it would have been fucking over for the rest of us. Blonde hair, blue eyes.
No, because like, yeah, I was supposed to go to Tokyo this summer when I turned, when I was 14. And my mom was like, you know what? No.
But that's healthy of your mom,
yeah,
to be honest.
I know.
I should not have been in Tokyo that young. But
I think that you were on such another level as... Like, speaking as a, I don't know how to say that, in terms of being like an international model. You know, I was working in Germany and Istanbul and a little bit in Paris, but you worked like all over the world, you know?
I guess.
I mean, you did in more way. Like I modeled mainly in Stockholm, and then I went to trips.
Yeah.
For the summer, and like, but you actually like you moved around.
Well, modeling. Because I was also able to do my schoolwork online, which gave me so much more flexibility to move around. But I think also it's different because I'm American, and so going to Europe or going to Asia is such a huge thing for an American already, whereas. Me going to New York from California is pretty much the same as you going from Stockholm to Paris. You know, it's even less of a flight. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, so it's not such a crazy thing for you to hop around Europe in the same sense of me hopping around the United States.
No. I mean, so yeah, in that sense. Do you say that?
Mm-hmm.
In that sense or sentence?
Sense.
In that sense.
In that sense, you were much bigger than I was. Like you worked so much more than I did, but also a thing where which is I don't think that many people understand. It's like there are so many different types of modeling.
Yeah,
like we would never even meet if we were have been like in Tokyo or like we would never have done the same shoots or the same shows because we have completely different looks.
What's the difference? Yeah. Not the difference in how you look, but like the jobs you get.
No, it is actually a difference in how we look.
I guess that depends on the work you get.
So they're like commercial models, fashion models, alien models.
So yeah, the thing is that when I first started, they were like, you're going to do editorial, which all of these things are tunnel vision. So it's like, they put you on one track, so you're going to go with that track your entire career. Oh. However, so they put me on the editorial track, and then halfway through, they're like, actually, you can make money. You can do a commercial because you're, like, cute, you're smiley, and you're blonde, happy. Whereas Olivia's fashion.
Yeah.
My body type is more commercial as well. I'm a little bit more of a wholesome, not super, super skinny look, whereas Olivia can look like she is walking the damn runways in Paris, and she is fashion, 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 baby. Whereas I'm like, ooh, okay, I'm going to jump into this set at Target in the States and smile a few times.
I wish you could see Olivia's smile right now.
I'm like, she's like, who,
stop
me?
Stop it.
No, but I mean, like, it's so, like, for example, even though you worked so much more, this is, I was so surprised. You never did a catwalk.
Never.
You never did fashion.
Oh.
You know the difference? Like, so just because, like, I was always sent to Fashion Week, to these, like, editorial, like, fashion things, whereas you never even did a show.
No.
Like, how, like, that's so weird, because people always assume, like, as a model, you do Fashion Week, you do this, you do Abercrombie, and then next semester you do Acne.
Yeah,
it's like it's completely different worlds.
Mm. Yeah,
so yeah.
I almost when I was bulimic, I almost did. What is it, Christopher Kane?
Yeah,
I met with the casting director for there, and he really, really liked me. And he was like,
"What is that? Sorry, Christopher Kane,
designer." Okay. Yeah, his name is Christopher Kane, right? Yeah,
I think so.
I'm like, I don't fucking remember. This was so long ago, but yeah, he was like, "Oh, you're perfect for this. Oh my god, we really want you." Mm. And how tall are you? And I was like, 173. And he was like, oh, "We can't.
Oh
we
my
can't.
God.
How tall are you, Olivia?
176.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's 3 centimeters.
Yeah.
And I was
but
like,
it makes a big difference.
It really does. Like, I was almost like I was like not. Perfect for fashion shows. I was like on the line of
that's
76. Yeah, exactly.
Lowest
they were like fine, fine, but it's like 178 or something. The weirdest thing, I don't know if you got talking about like weird tips that people give you. One casting director from I think it was Next in New York. I bet you know him. Like. Exciting American being like excited, like
I mean,
acting.
There's
eccentric,
eccentric,
like,
and he was
like,
probably,
yeah. So we met, and he was like, "Darling, you are perfect for our agency. We want to fly you this summer, and we love your looks." And I was like,
That sounds like IMG, to be honest.
Yeah.
It sounds like three.
I don't get that reference.
It literally sounds like three agents I know at IMG would say that to you. Yeah.
And he was like, problem is, like, you're like 1 centimeter too short. And in the model world, 1 centimeter is the whole world. Like, it's everything. Like, it's the difference between, like, never getting a job and getting all the jobs you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1 centimeter.
Isn't that fucking great? One centimeter is a paycheck.
Yeah.
Depends on your paycheck.
Yeah.
I mean, what I got lucky with is that while I was starting to model and while I was also in London going to a couple castings for London Fashion Week, this was when Bambi Norwood Blythe and mm-hmm. Charlotte Free were all walking, and they were 5'7". They were shorter than me.
Yeah.
So I got kind of lucky, so I'd always be like, what about Bambi? And he'd be like, it's different. You are not
like
Bambi.
Kate Moss.
Yeah, exactly.
Kate Moss is 169.
Kate Moss is 5'6".
I'm coming for you, Kate.
No, okay, so to finish the story, he was like, problem is, like, you're 1.5 centimeters too short. And I'm like, well, you know, and I've been casting, like, the whole fucking week. So I was like, yeah, can't do anything about that. Sorry.
Yeah.
Can I go? Like,
can't help you there.
I'm like, oh, too bad. Can I go? Like, on my way out. And he's like, actually, there is. And I was like, what? There is what? And he's like, there is a way. Like, there is a thing you can try. And I was like, to grow
taller?
A centimeter in 4 weeks.
Was it that getting a back surgery?
No. And he was like, so,
yoga.
Have you ever heard of stretching?
Yeah, yoga, stretching.
No. Crazier than that.
Oh,
listen. He goes, have you ever done stretching? And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, you go to the gym, right? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, so, you know these.
Or you hang upside down from a bar?
No. You these things like these stänger, yeah, handlebars that you like lift yourself up with.
He's
like,
pull-ups.
Whenever after your workout, just try to like hang for 10 minutes straight every day.
10,
you'll grow.
That's what they told me at IMG as well. Is they were like, just try stretching and try yoga.
Yeah, but like literally, he says, can you hang? from a handlebar for 10 minutes every day, and I was like, yeah, actually, I'll try that.
When I was in Greece, they had a challenge. If you could hang for like 1 minute, you got like $1,000.
Yeah. Nate, but it's not like a handle. I know what you're talking about as well, where you.
No. Just like hang like this.
Yeah.
Oh, you got $1,000.
Yeah. Okay.
Fuck, I need to go to Greece.
Okay, so we have 3 more subjects, and I want to know. So, like, what's your low in your model career?
Do you want to go first with this? Because mine's dark as fuck.
No, because, like, my that's the difference. Like, you had a career that was your life.
Yeah.
I never, like, I had ups and downs, but I had school.
Yeah.
That was my life. So it's not really that interesting. You go.
Mine was probably when I was 17 and I was living in London, where I just felt so lonely, and I felt like I didn't really have anybody I could talk to. I couldn't really talk to my family about this. I couldn't talk to my agents. I had nothing. I had nobody, and my friends from high school didn't really want anything to do with me. So I think, yeah, the lowest was when I was suicidal, and I weighed 103 pounds, which is... I know you guys don't understand that, but so I weighed 46.7 kilos at my height. I currently weigh 9 kilos more. It's insane.
Yeah.
Think about.
You're tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking tiny.
Yeah. Like, what's just fucking crazy to me, though, is that, oh my God, yeah, so shake it off. But
it's okay.
Yeah, I was such a low weight, and I was throwing up after every single meal, or I would chew up food and spit it out into the toilet right after. And I think the lowest point was me sitting in front of a toilet, eating and spitting every single like bite I took. And then finally I was just like, actually, maybe things would be so much better if I were dead. And I had always thought about this, even as like a kid, like if I were dead, what would the difference be? But I never really had the courage or the next step to think about suicide further. So I just remember laying in, Emily has started to hold my hand, but I just remember laying in a bathtub and I had a razor blade with me always. So for about 2 weeks, I would lay in the bathtub every night and play with a razor blade and think, if I were to drag this across my skin, across my wrist, everything will be over. I won't feel this terrible need to be beautiful all the time. I won't feel like, I won't have to chew my food up and spit it out. I won't feel so lonely. I won't feel so empty all the time. And so for about, 2 weeks, I just held this razor blade. And when you're going through that too, your mind is so fucked up where there was like a moment where I was cradling it like a baby and I was just looking down on it like, should I kill myself or not? Should I kill myself or not? And I think bulimia or eating disorders can really do that to you. They really fuck with your mind. Mm. And I think that's my lowest point of my modeling career.
Can we like talk about the whole bulimia thing? When did it start?
So I knew that I was getting older and my body was changing. So I think like a few weeks shy of my 17th birthday, maybe it was my 17th birthday. I ate way too much and I looked in the mirror and I just immediately saw like a fat girl standing in front of me. And I was thinking like, God, I cannot travel like this. I can't fucking look like this when I go to London. Like I can't. So this actually happened before I went to London.
And where were you there then?
I was home. I was home celebrating my birthday. And yeah, so I just remember like being in front of a toilet and being like, okay, well, wait, I know that girls can do this to be skinny again. Let me try it. And I threw up and it was the easiest thing I'd ever done because I'd already made myself throw up because I drank too much or, I felt sick. So I made myself throw up. So it was super easy for me to get the food out. And then I just remember thinking like, wait, I can do this all the time and I can be skinny. It doesn't really affect me. I'm fine. I can do it. So that's where it pretty much started. Afterwards, when I went to London, that was when my bulimia was at its peak. I was the lowest I've ever weighed and I was the skinniest, but I also looked like shit. And my hair was falling out. My skin was sallow and I was so pale and gross. Even my agent at one point was like, you're not eating. Something's going on. And I was like, yes, I am. Like, oh, no, it's because I'm so busy here. And he's like, you're not. Like, he's like, Megan, I've seen this. Like, stop. And I was like, no, I'm fine. Because there's nothing really he can do at that point. I'm living by myself. He can't monitor me 24 hours a day. And he's only my agent. He's not my mom or dad. So that's when it was at its peak. And then when I came back home to Florida, my parents were like, what the fuck has happened to you?
How long were you gone?
I was gone for 3 months. So when I came home, my parents were like, what the fuck is going on? Like, this is not okay. So I, like, gained weight immediately, and I stopped throwing up for a bit. And it was when you have an eating disorder and you start eating normally again, the weight comes on like that. Like, it's it's so much harder to get the weight back off.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I gained maybe 5 kilos. No, that's quite a bit. I gained maybe four kilos.
No, 5 kilos is, I think,
10 pounds, right? Yeah. So I gained some more weight and I looked healthy again and I was able to shoot with my agency in Florida. And then, but I never really stopped throwing up. Also, it became more of a comforting thing for me to do. Like, if I felt sad about something, I could throw up and I'd feel better after. Because I'd be like, I just rid myself of these toxins, blah, like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
So that's actually why I have this tattoo Vank. Not only was I going to learn French,
Vank.
But it was because I was defeating and overcoming my bulimia, which I
Vank
eventually did.
Means
to defeat or
to conquer. Overcome.
Yeah, exactly. So I eventually did beat it when I was about, how old was I? 19? Yeah, 19. So I had it on and off for 2 years, bulimia.
How did you beat it?
Actually, I owe a lot to my roommate at the time, Romy. She found out that I was making myself sick, and I had already told her about the fact that I had bulimia in my past and how I struggled with it, and she just held me, and she was like, that was the last time you're ever going to throw up. And something about the way she said it to me, I was like, shit, this has to be the last time, because otherwise I'm killing myself. I mean, you're dying when you're doing it. So whether it's emotionally, mentally, physically, it's like you're dying. You're not living. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much what made me kick. Hmm. Of course, over the past couple of years, it's been really hard. Every single day I think about it, and I'm always struggling with the fact of, should I throw up today? Like, okay, something bad has happened to me. Should I throw up? And, you know, every day is kind of a mini victory for me that I don't throw up.
It really is.
That's like a really good thing, because we had an episode where we talked about mental health.
Yeah.
And I guess the conclusion of it was, when someone tells you or when you realize someone is like want to kill themselves or like are depressed or anything, you have to be aware of that you can die from it.
Yeah.
And if you like realize that, okay, I'm really hurting myself. Because I think a lot of people has like a fadum,
prejudice.
Yeah, about people with like eating disorders, like it ain't for real, and you just
do it
like
for attention.
Yeah. So when someone like understands it and be like, that's the last time.
Yeah. And also,
see the consequences. And yeah, so that was, yeah.
And I mean, we
have to say also, like, it's not about, like, you cannot determine an eating disorder based on how someone looks. You can be fat, have an eating disorder. You can look normal. You can look sweet. Like, it doesn't, yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, at this time when Romy and I had that talk, I wasn't super fucking skinny or anything. I actually looked like I did. I look like I do now, maybe minus 3 kilos. And still, it was just like, it was the fact, well, it was the act of me doing it where she was like, that's enough. That's fucking enough. And bulimia for me, and maybe it's not like this for everybody, but it was a form of self-mutilation. It was me punishing myself because of the way I felt inside. And yeah, it was just super unhealthy and it was killing me.
This has been like a really emotional episode. I know that it's boring hearing like, oh, now we're back and we talked about this, but that's life, okay?
I mean, basically, yeah, we all just discovered a few things that none of us knew.
Yeah.
And it was like a very big shock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I'm in fun.
Okay. We're going to wrap this up.
This is not the last you've seen of Megan.
Actually, you know what? I'm very excited to come on and talk about. And I'm going to talk about it for the first time ever. I've actually never told anybody about this. But I went to rehab in California.
Hey.
Not for the reasons you're thinking. I didn't go because I was addicted to coke, even though I should have gone for coke addiction years ago. This was more of...
She did not shave her head.
Yeah, this was more of a mini meltdown I had, but I cannot wait to talk about this for the first time. And it's going to feel so good to get it off my chest.
Yeah.
So
we'll do it.
Plot
twist.
Yeah.
Looking forward to
that. Okay, can we please just for... making some things good here. So can we just, I know it's not Thanksgiving, but can we please just say something that we're grateful for? Like end with positive.
Yes, definitely.
She does this sometimes and she gets this,
it.
Wait, so she does this
Mama.
Weird, look in her eyes when she's like, when she gets a life crisis, she cuts her bang and goes to Gothenburg and she looks at you with this like,
but everything is everything is Greece? Fine. I just want to say something like
no, and
end
I love
it
that.
With
no,
something I love it good. I love it and a lot. It's like it's when you hear this, it's a Tuesday, and like that's a fucking bad day. Yeah.
Emily, you go first. What are you grateful for?
I'm very grateful, thankful. Is that the same thing?
Yeah.
For like everyone, like in my family and my friends, like doing good, and like are healthy. And just like being exactly where they want to be in life. And everyone is like just feeling good. And when you go through like your teenage, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
And I think this is the first time when people like my friends are like having kids and their dream jobs and coming to Sweden. And, like people are just
my baby.
Like they're living and they love it. And that makes me feel really good.
I think, yeah, actually, what I'm grateful for isn't so far off from that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel so grateful to have such an amazing support system here and to feel like I'm not alone and that I know that things, when everything feels bad, it's not always going to feel this bad. I know mm-hmm. that things are going to get better no matter what. And right now, everything is getting better every single day. And I'm so grateful and happy for that. And God, I'm so grateful for you guys. Jesus, fuck. And Jasmine and Heather and Sophia and all of these people. Like,
So much love.
Yeah. So I feel so much love for the first time in my entire life. I feel like, wow. I'm exactly where I need to be.
Yeah.
And I'm with the people I love the most in my life. Don't cry. Sluta gråta nu.
No.
Oh. I know, right?
Yeah. Fucking great Swedish.
Tack.
I feel the exact same way. With like, I feel like I've almost like worried a little bit that I'm gonna have a stroke because of all the endorphins in my brain is like wait, we're not used to be this happy because everything's just falling into place like at the same 100%. Time also that's why I'm like oh what the fuck like everything just
bitch the fuck me too
yeah like mm-hmm. Jesus yeah the fuck everything at the same time like doing like in the period of 7 days everything was just like perfect.
Yes.
And I love that. And I love you guys.
Yeah. I love you. Okay, let's sign off on that good note.
Okay,
goodbye.
So
wait.
I'm sorry for quite messy episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm so sorry. It's totally my fault, by the way.
It's everyone's fault.
Hey.
Hejdå. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.